start in Luke chapter 11, and then we're going to be going through what are the necessary ingredients of prayer. What are the necessary ingredients in prayer? And the first thing we see, as we see here in Luke chapter 11, we're going to start in verse 1. It says, "And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And he said unto them, When you pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread. And forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And he said unto them, Which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, Friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine is in his journey, is come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, Trouble me not, the door is now shut, my children are with me in bed, I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him, because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, he will give him a stone. Will he give him a stone? If he ask a fish, will he give him? Will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If then, being evil, knowing how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him?" So we see here, the first thing is Jesus was pointing out to him, the first thing we need, one of the necessary ingredients when we go to the Father, God the Father, for asking for our request is worship, adoration, and praise. More often than not, our prayers are characterized by selfishness, aren't they not? Don't we go there? Usually we're asking God to do something for us. But if we take the focus off ourselves and we put the focus back on Him, the real objective of our prayers becomes our, because of selfishness, becomes personal fulfillment and well-being. But if we worship God, according to John chapter 4 and verse 24, we need to worship Him in spirit and in truth. We need to first, as Jesus was pointing out, He wasn't giving us a prayer here to repeat word for word. He was giving us an example of what we should do and how we should do it. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. We need to worship and we need to thank Him for who He is. We need to praise Him. And we can go through the Psalms and I don't know how many times it talks about praising God. And then we the sacrifice of praise is from our lips. So we can praise God from our lips and from thanking Him. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 18, it says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." We need to give thanks. And I tell you, sometimes, and my wife can tell you, some of the things we have to go through sometimes, some of the days are not the nicest days, but we need to be thankful for those days as well as the good days. Not every day in our life is going to be, we're not always going to be on the mountaintop. But to get to the next mountaintop, we have to what? Go through the valley. So there's things that are going to happen that we're not going to like, but God allows them in our lives to what? To mold and shape us to be more like Him. But we must worship Him in spirit and in truth, as John chapter 4 and verse 24. See, we must recognize God for who He really is. And see, primarily we must worship Him in holiness. We're going to turn to a few scriptures here to support this, what I'm saying here. The first area we're going to turn to is Daniel chapter 9. Daniel chapter 9. Starting in verse 3. Actually, let's go back to verse 1 and start the chapter here. It says, "In the first year of Darius the son of Ahasuerus, and of the seed of the Medes, which was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans, In the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of the years, whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. He says, I set my face unto the Lord God, and to seek by prayer and supplications with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. And I prayed unto the Lord my God, and made my confession, and said, O Lord, the great and dreadful God, keeping the covenant and mercy to them that love him and to them that keep his commandments, we have sinned and have committed iniquity and have done wickedly and have rebelled, even by departing from thy precepts and from thy judgments. Neither have we hearkened unto thy servants, the prophets which spake in thy name to our kings, our princes, our fathers, and to all the people of the land. O Lord, righteousness belongeth unto thee, but unto us confusion of faces as at this day. To the men of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and unto all Israel that are near, that are far off through all the countries whither thou hast driven them, because of their trespass that they have trespassed against thee. O Lord, to us belong confusion of face, to our kings, to our princes, to our fathers, because we have sinned against thee. And to the Lord, our God, belong mercies and forgiveness, though we have rebelled against him. Neither have we obeyed the voice of the Lord our God to walk in his laws, which we have set before us by his servants the prophets. Yea, all Israel has transgressed thy law, even by departing, that they might not obey thy voice. Therefore, the curse is poured upon us, and the oath that is written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, because we have sinned against him. But if you notice at the beginning of his prayer here, he says, I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplications with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. I prayed unto the Lord my God and made my confession and said, O Lord, the great and dreadful God. He was giving God praise for who he was. Daniel recognized who God was, and then he went on to realize that they have sinned. And when we see God for who he really is, we start to see and recognize our sinfulness. And we're going to look at several examples because I think it's good. We're going to go all the way from Joshua all the way through Isaiah. There's some New Testament ones. We're going to look at several of them here. But we're going to go to Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah chapter 6. I'm just giving you some good examples of where in the scriptures where they faced God and what took place. I just thought it was interesting when I was reading these of the response. And there's many people, as it says, every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. There's going to be one day when everybody's going to have to do that. And the world, the ones that hate God are going to be the ones that hate it the most, but they're not going to have a choice. But we see here in Isaiah chapter 6, and we're going to start in verse 1. It says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and then with twain he did fly. One cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, this is Isaiah, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. So it's when Isaiah seen, but then you go down here, and we're going to read a few more verses. It says, then they flew, one of the seraphims, unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. Also I heard a voice, the voice of the Lord, saying, whom shall I send? Who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. So we see here that Isaiah, once he's seen, he says, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. He realized his sinfulness. He realized who he really was. And he realized he was a man of unclean lips. And he says, I dwell in the midst of the people of unclean lips. But then we see a cleansing fire when the seraphim brought the coal over and touched his lips. And he says, thine iniquity has been taken away, thy sin purged. And that's what happens when we confess our sins before God. But then he said in verse 8, he says, also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? Who will go for us? I look at that just a little point here, that question, who will go for us? That's the plurality of God. That's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. That's the Trinity. Because if you look back at verse 3, they didn't say holy once. They go, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. There's a song, holy, holy, holy. Because we're recognizing the Trinity of God. And so I just wanted to point that out. But then said I, here am I, send me. So Isaiah realized we must worship God in holiness. He realized that when we stand before him, again, there's going to be many instances. We're going to start in Joshua to where each of these men had faced God. And what they end up having? They end up getting down and worshiping him because of who he is. Joshua chapter 5. Joshua chapter 5. Chapter 5, and we're going to read verses 13 and 14. Actually, let's go back a few verses. I kind of like to read a little bit more than what I'm looking at. It says in verse 11, it says, and they did eat of the old corn of the land on the morrow after the Passover, unleavened cakes and parched corn in the selfsame day. And the manna ceased on the morning after they had eaten of the old corn of the land. Neither had the children of Israel manna any more, but they did eat of the fruit of the land of Canaan that year. So God brought them into the land of Canaan. Joshua at this time is the one leading the children of Israel. Moses has passed off the scene and passed the torch on to Joshua to lead God's people. And in verse 13 it says, and it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked and behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, art thou for us or for our adversaries? And he said, nay, but as the captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. And just immediately it says, and Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship and said unto him, what saith my Lord unto his servant? The captain of the Lord of hosts said unto Joshua, loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place wherein thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so. So when Joshua come in contact with God, what happened? He fell flat on his face, prostrate. He fell down and worshipped him. We see in Job chapter 42, Job 42. Chapter 42, verses 4 through 6. We can actually start at verse 1. It says, then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that thou canst do everything, and that no thought can be withholden from thee. Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore have I uttered that I understand not things too wonderful for me, which I knew not. Hear, I beseech thee, and I speak, I will demand of thee and declare unto you, thou unto me. I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, and now, but now mine eye seeth thee. Wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. Again, when we compare ourselves to the Lord Jesus Christ or to God, we see his holiness, we see his perfectness, and then what? It puts light on our sinfulness. Job says, now my eye seeth, and wherefore I abhor myself. The word, it's a hatred for self. And he says, repent and dust and ashes. That's the effect that God has on us when we come face to face with him. We must recognize God for who he is. Then we see in Ezekiel chapter 1. I tried to grab several examples because I want us to see that it's not just in one place. Every time someone, one of these men, come in contact with God, they realized their sinfulness. It's the same thing what happened when we came to the Lord in salvation. We realized that we were sinners, of course, according to the scriptures. And then we realize that we have a need for salvation and we have a need for Him. But in verse 28, it says, As the appearance of the bow is in the... Actually, let's go back. Verse 27 says, And I saw as the color of amber, as the appearance of fire round about within it, from the appearance of his loins even upward, and from the appearance of his loins even downward. I saw as it were the appearance of fire, and it had a brightness round about. And as the appearance of the bow that is in the cloud in the day of rain, so was the appearance of the brightness round about. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of God. And when I saw it, I fell on my face, and I heard a voice of one that spake. This was Ezekiel. When he saw the glory of the Lord, the likeness, it says, the appearance of the likeness, of, it says, when I saw it, I fell on my face. And then we see in Daniel chapter 10, this is a different instance. We looked at Daniel 9, but Daniel chapter 10, give you a chance to get there, Daniel chapter 10. Starting at verse 1, it says, In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a thing was revealed unto Daniel, whose name was called Belteshazzar, and that the thing was true, but the time appointed was long, and he understood the thing, and he had understanding of the vision. And in those days, I, Daniel, was mourning three full weeks. I ate no pleasant bread, neither came flesh nor wine in my mouth, neither did I anoint myself at all till three whole weeks were fulfilled. And in the 24th day of the month, the first of the month, as I was by the side of the great river, which is Hiddekel, then I lifted up mine eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man, clothed in linen, whose loins were girded with fine gold of Uphaz. His body was like that of beryl, and his face has the appearance of the lightning, and his eyes as the lamps of fire, and his arms and his feet like in color to polished brass, and the voice of his words like the voice of a multitude. And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision. For the men that were with me saw not the vision, but a great quaking fell upon them, so that they fled to hide themselves. Therefore I was left alone and saw this great vision, and there remained no strength in me, for my comeliness was turned in me into corruption, and I retained no strength. Yet heard I the voice of his words, and when I heard the voice of his words, then was I in a deep sleep on my face, and my face toward the ground. And behold, a hand touched me, which set me upon my knees and upon the palms of my hands. So when Daniel came into contact, face to face with God here, this is a description of God. What happened? He fell as one asleep. And where was he? On his face. Again, when we come in and recognize, we need to worship God, we need to adore, you know, adoration, and we need to praise Him for who He is. And the last instance we're going to look at here, and then we're going to move on, but is Revelation chapter 1. This is the Apostle John, Revelation chapter 1. In verse 12, it says, And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks, and in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the feet, girt about with paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass. Does this sound familiar? We just heard the same thing that Daniel said. This is another vision that John is seeing as fine brass. And if they burned in a furnace, and his voice is the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. That two-edged sword, I believe, is the word of God. And his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. And when I saw him, verse 17, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, and saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. So again, we look at several men here throughout the scriptures, and I'm sure there's more to where they fell. They got down and were prostrate on their face when they come in contact with God. We must recognize for God for who he is. So the first thing we need, the first necessary ingredient of prayer is to really just to give God praise. I mean, give him worship. We need to, as it says there in Luke chapter 11, the very first part of that prayer that Jesus was sharing with them, "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done as heaven is in earth." We need to worship. We give him worship, give him praise. This is something we should try when we pray. We should just thank God for who he is. But the second thing we see here today is confession. Not only, and through every one of these examples, you noticed that they mentioned that they confessed their sins. They confessed the sins of the people, the prophets did. When we come in contact with God, there's a light that turns on. If we go to 1 John chapter 1, 1 John chapter 1 was a good example of this. But there's a light. You don't see much in the darkness. But then when there's a light turned on, we can see. And God is that light. He's a holy God. He never changes. He's all powerful. I mean, we can go on and describe him, who he is. We see in 1 John, it says, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard," in verse 1, it says, "which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. The life was manifested, and we have seen it and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that we also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, his Son Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. But you see there in verse 5, it says, "And declare unto you that God is light." And it says, if we have fellowship in him, we do not walk in darkness. When we come in contact with God, it reveals to us our sinfulness. When we come in contact with God's word, it says, "Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God." It says in Romans chapter 3, "There is none righteous, no, not one." And then we read these things. We're coming in contact with God's word. It's revealing to us our sinfulness. Romans chapter 3 and verse 20. Romans 3 and verse 20 says, "Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin." We figure out our sinfulness through God's word. But God is a light. He reveals to us. There's confession. Confession is simply agreeing with God about our sin. We need to agree with him that we're sinful. And we're only able to approach God through Jesus Christ. We see in Hebrews chapter 4, in verse 16, the only reason we can come to God is because of Christ, because of our position in Christ. It says there in 16, it says, "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need." So, because of Christ, because we're in Christ, our position in Christ, we're able to come what? Before God boldly. And we can come before him, and because why? We're covered in the blood of Christ, because we've been saved. See, Christ, our sins, through Christ, our sins have been purged. Confession reminds us of God's mercy and helps us to assume a humble posture before Him. That's exactly what it does. When we confess our sins, we're realizing our sinfulness. Let's go to Psalm chapter 51. Psalm 51. I'm sure we're familiar with this. This is the Psalm of David. This is after he had sinned with Bathsheba. But he starts out in verse 1. It says, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to, unto the multitude of thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquities and cleanse me from my sin." We've seen that in 1 John 1, 9, right? If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to what? Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He's asking Him to wash Him, to cleanse Him. "For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me." When we stand before God, our sin's brought out in the light, and it's ever before us. Just like David here. David thought he was going to get away with it. If we went back to 1 Samuel chapter 15, where the prophet Nathan came and faced David and told him a story about this rich man who was taken, who had a big flock of sheep, but he would come to this poor man that had one little sheep, and he took her to sacrifice her for some friends. David got mad, and then Nathan the prophet says, "Thou art the man." As soon as he was faced, and he knew that God knew, immediately he repented. He says, "My sins are ever before me. Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow." So confession is needed. We also see in Nehemiah chapter 1, we're going to just take a brief moment, then we're going to close. But Nehemiah chapter 1, Nehemiah chapter 1, we see here in Nehemiah that there was a, verse 2, it says, "And Hanani, one of my brethren, came, and he and a certain men of Judah. And I asked them concerning the Jews that had escaped, which were left of the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem. And they said unto me, The remnant that are left of the captivity there in the province are in great affliction and reproach. And the wall of Jerusalem also was broken down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. And it came to pass, when I heard these words, that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven." But what's one of the first things he does here? Verse 5, Nehemiah's prayer, "And said, I beseech thee, O Lord God of heaven, the great and terrible God that keepeth covenant, mercy from them that love him and observe his commandments." He praises God. He gives him adoration. He lifts him up. And then in verse 6, it says, "Let thine ear now be attentive, thine eyes open, that thou mayest hear the prayer of thy servant, which I pray before thee now day and night, for the children of Israel, thy servants, confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we," see, he didn't separate himself from them, but he says, "which we have sinned against thee, both I and my father's house have sinned." Confession. He came to God, he recognized who God was. And then the next thing he goes into is he confesses for his sins. So we see that here. "And we have dealt very corruptly against thee, and have not kept the commandments, nor the statutes, nor the judgments which thou commandest thy servant Moses. Remember, I beseech thee, the word that thou commandest thy servant Moses, saying, If we transgress, I will scatter you abroad among the nations. But if you turn unto me, keep my commandments, and do them, thou there were of you cast out unto the uttermost part of the heaven. Yet will I gather them from thence, and will bring them unto the place that I have chosen to set my name there. Now these are thy servants and thy people whom thou hast redeemed." See, he reminded him, "By thy great power and by thy strong hand, O Lord, I beseech thee." He says, I'm begging you. Let now thine ear be attentive to the prayer of thy servant and to the prayer of thy servants who desire to fear thy name, and prosper, I pray thee, thy servant this day, and grant him mercy in the sight of this man, for I was the king's cupbearer. And that's exactly what God did. He granted him mercy in front of the king. But he recognized who God was. He was giving him worship and praise. And then he confessed his sin. And we're going to stop right there. I got a quote here I want to share with you, and then we're going to stop. Thomas Fuller wrote, "Man's owning his weakness is the only stock for God thereon to graft the grace of his acceptance." We have to confess. We have to realize our sinfulness before God's willing to grant us mercy and give us the grace to move forward. So let's pray.